My name is Alan Morse, and we're going to have another teaching. And today, we're going to have a teaching dealing with one church, the church. The church that we all should belong to. And we're going to have three parts in this, all to be done in a half an hour. One, we're going to talk about the church, one salvation, and one baptism. Now, we need that you get your Bibles out. I want you to go through this with me. So you're not going to say Al said this. You're going to see it directly from the Word of God. And this is what we got to do. We got to have it directly from the Word of God. Let's turn in our Bibles. We'll be starting in Colossians chapter 1. But before we do, we've got to understand there are many churches today. All kinds of churches. They say there's one on every street corner in some towns. And they can be a Baptist church, a Methodist church, a Presbyterian church, a Catholic church, Assembly of God church. But this isn't what we're talking about. We're talking about the church. The church where there's salvation, 100% salvation in this church. And this church is called the body of Christ. And this is the church that Christ called out. And Paul was the apostle, and he called this church out to be totally separated from Judaism. Separated 100% from Judaism. And this is the church that we have to belong to in order to be saved. No other church can save you. Only this church can save you. So it's one church we're going to be talking about. Okay, let's talk about this church. Who's the head of this church? Let's look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 18. Colossians chapter 1, verses 18. It says, He is the head of the body of the church. Christ is. Christ is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, and that in all things he might have preeminence. Christ is the head of this church. Jesus Christ is my leader. He is my head. He is the head of the church, of this body of Christ. Let's look at Ephesians. Turn to Ephesians. Back to the left. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And let's look at verses 22. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22, and it says, And hath put all things under his feet, this is Christ, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fulfilleth all in all. You see, he is the head of the body of Christ. Jesus is. He's the head of the church. Okay, so then let's look at Romans chapter 12. Turn back to the left to Romans, and we'll look at chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, let's look at verses 4. For as we have many members, he's talking about the body of Christ, in one body, and all members have not the same office. See, we're not all the same, we're all different. We're all different. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another. We're all members of one another. We're all part together. We're like almost, we're brothers in Christ, what we really are. It says, having then gifts differing. See, where they're differing according to the grace which was given to us. You see, everything that we're involved in this body of Christ, grace is given to us. Grace is unmerited favor. So it's not us doing anything. It's God working through us. It's He's doing it. It says, given to us. Whether it's prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Ministry, let us wait upon our ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth, he exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it liberally. He that ruleth, with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. In other words, everything that we do, you see, is given to us by the grace of God. And by that grace of God, we are all there to hold up this body of Christ in many different ways. In many different ways. Let's turn to Ephesians. Go back to the right. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. First and Second Corinthians, then with Galatians, and then Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, and let's look at verses 11. Verses 11. It says, "And he, Christ, gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry." You see, all these people up here, these evangelists and pastors and teachers, they are working with us to perfect us so that we can do the work of the ministry. It's up to everybody in this body of Christ to be a part of the ministry. And whatever it takes, whatever God gives you, whatever ability He has for you, you utilize it for the ministry of Christ, for this ministry, the body of Christ. And it's just wonderful, because it's always He's the one that does it. He's the one that does it. Paul says, God works mightily through me. You see, it's God working through us. But we're doing it and learning for the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see there is one church, and this church is the body of Christ, and Jesus is the head of it. And if members of the body of Christ are involved, and we're for one purpose, biggest purpose is for the ministry, for edifying the body of Christ, so that they can be ministers. They can actually be involved in the ministry. So that's what we teach you that for, that you can learn these subjects so that you can tell your friends, your family, and your neighbors, and people that you go to church with. They've got to know these things. So the question is, are you a member of this body of Christ? Well, there's your one way to do it, and that's two. Number two we're going to talk about now is there's one salvation. There's one salvation for this body of Christ, and only one. And we'll turn over to Romans chapter 1. Turn to Romans chapter 1. And just look at verses 16. Romans chapter 1, verses 16. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it," the gospel, "for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek." It's for everybody, see. And salvation is the gospel. Let me read it again. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." It's the gospel. "It is the power of God unto salvation." Isn't that what we're looking for? Salvation? And how do we get it? To everyone that believeth. Everyone that believeth the gospel. That's salvation. It didn't say believe and be baptized. It didn't say believe and speak in tongues. It didn't say believe and join a church. It didn't say believe and pray to Mary and to the saints or to pay your tithe. It just said to believe the gospel. Now the question is, what's the gospel? What are we believing? What do we believe in the gospel? You see, for a long time, I always thought the gospel was the scriptures. The Bible. But that's not the gospel. Let's see what the gospel is. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Romans and then 1 Corinthians to the right. Chapter 15, the most important verse in the whole Bible. This tells you what salvation is. This shows you truly what salvation is and tells you what the gospel is. Okay? Now, Paul's writing this as a letter. This is a letter to the Corinthian church, and this church has already been grounded in the gospel. Paul, that's all he taught was the gospel. More so, we'll start with verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." Not a gospel. This is the gospel. This is one we're looking for. "Which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and which you stand." See, he preached this gospel to them. They received it, and they stand on it. This is what their salvation is. And it says, "by which also you are saved." That's what we're looking for, salvation. And this is how you're saved, okay? "If you keep in memory of what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." See, it's important that you truly believe this. This isn't head knowledge. This is a heart knowledge. It's a heart knowledge. You truly got to believe it in your heart for your salvation. This is the most important belief you ever will have, because this is the difference between heaven and hell. You either believe the gospel and you will be saved. If you don't, you won't be saved. It's just that simple. And here it is. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Where did he receive this gospel at? Well, keep your hand here in 1 Corinthians and turn over to Galatians. Go to 2 Corinthians and Galatians, chapter 1, verse 11. This is where he received this gospel. He says, "But I make known unto you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." By the revelation of Jesus Christ. He got this directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that. And that's where it should come from. He's the one. He's the head of the church, see. He's the head of the body of Christ. And he's the one who provides what salvation is for. Isn't that only fair? That's only right. And here's what it is. Turn back to 1 Corinthians 15, and just look at verses 3 again. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received it directly from Christ, that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures, and that he was buried and on the third day, and he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. If you believe that Jesus died for your sins, and that he was buried, and he rose again, that's salvation for the body of Christ. That's salvation. That's the membership for this body of Christ. And that's the only way that you get into the body of Christ. And only the people member of the body of Christ will ever go to heaven. When the rapture comes, you have to be a member of this body of Christ in order to go in the rapture. That's just what the book says. You'll see that. We won't talk about it now, but we'll go on. But that's what the book says. Okay, so we see that the gospel is based on believing that Jesus died for your sins, and he was buried, and he rose from the dead. That's the gospel, and that's salvation for the church. Okay, let's talk about what happens afterwards. Well, no, let's just tell you how important this gospel is. Turn back to Galatians chapter 1. How important it is. It says, verses 8, Galatians chapter 1, verses 8, it says, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than which we have preached unto you," he said, "let them be accursed." 9 says, "As we said before, so say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than which you have received, let him be accursed." What's accursed means? It's anathema. It's hell. They're damned to hell. That's what they are. And that's what the word means. I didn't say it. The book says it. Has anybody ever preached anything other for salvation than this gospel to you? Well, you see, I've been in church all my life, and I never heard the gospel preached for salvation. Not once. Not one time in my whole life. And I've been involved in the church all my life, and never once heard the gospel preached. What about those preachers? They preach something different. What do they preach? Believing in Jesus. What do they preach? Take Jesus as your Savior. What do they preach? Take Jesus in your heart. What do they preach? You've got to be baptized. You've got to believe in Jesus, and you've got to be baptized. Did you hear any of that in the gospel? No. No. And so what happens? No one saved. No one saved. And how I can prove it? Nobody has the Holy Spirit. And we're going to see why. Because you don't get the Holy Spirit unless you believe the gospel. And that's our next topic. The Holy Spirit. That's our next topic. Now let's turn back in our Bibles to Ephesians. Just turn to Ephesians. Go on to the right. Chapter 1. This is the most important second most important verse in the Bible. This shows you where the Holy, where you get the Holy Spirit and the importance of that. Okay? Let's look at 13. And just really listen to these words. It said, "In whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth." Now you'll find that when Paul uses the word of truth, and he does it just umpteen times throughout his teachings in these letters, every time he's talking about the word of truth or the truth, he's talking about, what's it say? The gospel. The word of truth. The gospel. The gospel of what? The gospel of your salvation. See? That's the word of truth. The gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after you believed. Believe what? This word of truth. This gospel of your salvation. When you believe the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, what happens? You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You see, this new church that we're talking about, the body of Christ, once you believe the gospel, you become a member of that body of Christ. And you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Every member has Christ living in you. Think about that. That's Jesus living in you. What's the seal mean? Well, in the old times, it was called a finished transaction. You see, they back in the Roman times, they would take a piece of wax and they'd melt it down and they put it on the paper and then they would put their ring into it. Their signet ring. And when they did that, they sealed it. And that was a finished transaction. So when you are sealed with the Holy Spirit, it's finished. You are sealed. You are saved. And you're saved for eternity. You're saved. Okay? It also means ownership. Who owns you now? God owns you. He lives in you. He's walks with you. Talks with you. Just takes you everywhere you need to go and keeps you going where you shouldn't go. It's ownership. And then it's security, because He's the one that's in you. You're secure. Totally secure, because you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Look what it says when you go verses 14. It said, "Who is the earnest of our inheritance." We have a huge inheritance in heaven. And this is just the down payment for it. This that sealing of the Holy Spirit. "Until the redemption of the purchase possession." Who's the purchase possession? We are. Until we are redeemed, see. We're sealed until God comes and takes us home. Until we're redeemed unto the praise of His glory, see. So it's just, this is once saved, always saved. When you have God living in you, you see, you're saved. And there's no way you can not be saved. It's impossible not to be to lose your salvation once you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Let's look how important this is. This is tremendously important. And let's look at Romans chapter 8. Turn back to Romans, and let's look at chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And just look at verse 11 first. It says, "But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you," and it does, see, we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. When we believe the gospel, that's the only way you get the Holy Spirit. You have to believe the gospel. And He does dwell in you. "And He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also give life to your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you." In other words, that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead will also raise us, our mortal bodies, from the dead also. We don't have a thing to worry about. God's got it totally taken care of. Whether we live or die, we're going to be with Him. It's just beyond our imagination what God has done. How important is being filled with the Holy Spirit? You just look back here at verse 9. Verse 9, it says, "But ye are not of the flesh, but of the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His." You see, the churches today are walking around. They don't believe the gospel for the salvation. They don't have the Holy Spirit, and that's why they have problems. That's why a man can walk down the aisle and say, "I took Jesus as my Savior, and I was baptized, and nothing changed." Nothing changed. It can't change, because that's not the gospel. And you don't get filled with the Holy Spirit, and you don't get saved. unless you believe the gospel. And as soon as you believe the gospel, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. That man's no different was before he walked down the aisle. And that's why if they got 500 on the rolls, maybe 75 show up in church, and that 75 can't wait till they get done speaking because they're hungry. They want to watch a football game or go fishing or play golf or whatever they may do. Then they just, when they walk out that door, they say, "Well, God, I was here. I was here. You owe me." God will owe nobody nothing, you see. The churches today are totally void of the Holy Spirit. Why do you think the churches keep trying to tell you how to live a good life? They're trying to take the place of the Holy Spirit. We don't need nobody to tell us how to live a good life. We got God living in us. And with God living in you, you won't want to sin. I mean, if you were sitting out here one day and a bunch of people there, and all of a sudden your pastor walked up, would you start telling him dirty jokes? No. Would you cuss around him? No. Would you do anything that would be bad around him? Well, no. No, you just don't do that around a pastor. Well, how do you think you're going to do when you've got Jesus living in you? You're going to walk with God. He's going to make all the difference in the world. You don't have to confess your sins. Sin will be not a problem in your life because you won't want to sin. You'll hate sin. And the churches don't understand that. And that's why the churches are in the shape they're in. They don't have the Holy Spirit living in them. That's just the way it is, and it's horrible. It's horrible. So, what happens when you get that Holy Spirit? Just look at here at verses 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. Look at 16. And the Spirit Himself bears witness of our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, we're heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He's the one who created this world. And everything was created for Him and by Him. Colossians chapter 1, about 15. Everything was created by God, by Jesus Christ, for Him and by Him. And we're co-heirs with Him. Can you comprehend that? That's just fantastic. Now I'd like for you to turn to 2 Corinthians. Turn to 2 Corinthians. Romans, you got 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. And I want you to truly, truly listen to this. This is tremendously important. Chapter 13. 2 Corinthians, chapter 13, and look at verses 5. Now, I want you to do exactly what the book says here. What's the book say? Examine yourself. And this is what I want you to do now. Examine yourself. Whether you're in the faith, are you truly in the faith? Do you truly believe the gospel for your salvation? Do you? Okay, prove yourself. Know ye not yourself that Jesus Christ is in you? Do you know that Christ is living in your life? Is He living in your life? You hate sin? You don't want anything to do with sin? All you want to do is walk with the Lord? Is He in your life every day? You talk with Him? Are you studying the Scriptures? Are you praying? Are you thankful for everything that you see, eat, and hear, and everything about? It's just God's living in you. Is He living in you? It says, unless you're discredited. See, if Christ isn't living in you, you see, you're discredited. That's scary. That's truly scary. And so examine yourself. And if you haven't believed the gospel, if you're not saved, all you got to do is believe the gospel and tell God that. I believe the gospel for my salvation and truly believe it. See, Paul says you truly got to believe it. But if you believe it, and then just tell Him what it is. I believe that Jesus died for my sins, that He was buried, and He rose from the dead. I believe this, Lord, for my salvation. And He'll save you in an instant, and He'll seal you with the Holy Spirit. And God will be with you for eternity. He'll be with you and direct you every inch of the way, all the way. And look what it says, and turn to Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, Philippians, and then Colossians, and then 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And look what it says. This is wonderful. Verses 23, it says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, I pray. God, your whole spirit and soul and body preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." Your whole spirit, soul, and body. That's everything to be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord. When is that? The Lord Jesus Christ. When is it? It's either rapture or either you pass away. Because when you pass away, your soul and spirit will go directly be with the Lord, and it'll be preserved blameless until that happens, or until Jesus comes in the rapture and takes us home. But just look at verse 24. Faithful is He. Who's He? God. That calleth you. Who calls us? God does. He chose us before the foundation of this world, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 or 4. And it also says, also, who you will do it. Do what? God will do it. What? Preserve you blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that. Think about how wonderful that is. Preserve you blameless until Jesus comes. Until Jesus comes. I'd like for you to turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Just turn the page and look what happens, how important this gospel is. Verse 8, in the flaming fire, taking vengeance, this is when God comes back on this earth, He said, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them who know not God, and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destructions from the presence of the Lord, from the glory of His power. Have you obeyed the gospel? Have you obeyed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you believed the gospel for your salvation? That's obeying the gospel. If you haven't, you're going to be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. We've looked at one church, one salvation, and one spirit. And this is what the body of Christ is based on. All based on the gospel and being filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you're a member of that church, you will be saved. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for all that you've done. I pray that everybody that hears this would come to the knowledge of the gospel and be saved. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.